All right, so welcome to the second episode of our podcast series, Generative AI in the Real World. Today, I'm with my good friend, Pete Warden. He is the founder of Useful Sensors. He's also the author of an O'Reilly book called Tiny ML. So welcome to the podcast, Pete.
Thanks so much, Ben.
And for our audience, Useful Sensors, I went to their website and I grabbed a couple of things on their website to describe them, but I'll obviously have Pete describe it as well. But Useful Sensors is AI you can trust. We make interfacing with machines, everyday appliances, and electronic devices as easy as communicating with another human. So with that said, please introduce Useful Sensors. And so what does the company do and what is your vision?
Yeah, so what you said really describes it well, that we're trying to make it so that you can interact with appliances, consumer electronics, TVs, refrigerators, as easily as you can interact with another person. And so what that means in practice is, for example, we've built this little person sensor module that has a microcontroller and a camera built in and runs pre-built machine learning models to tell you, for example, hey, is there a person there? How many people are there? And, you know, whether they're facing the camera. And really the idea is we want to enable things like, I really want to be able to look at a lamp, say on, and have the light come on. Or I want my TV to automatically pause when I get up to make a cup of tea without me having to find the remote. And so in order to do that, we're building these capabilities like the person detection, like doing speech to text on the edge. So being able to do full Alexa style voice interfaces without any kind of network connection and in a very privacy focused way as well.
So you were one of the people who coined the term Tiny ML, and you even wrote a book about Tiny ML. So now I think we're entering what can be described as sensor driven AI. So what are some of the challenges with this, I guess, emerging category, and what are some of the more interesting use cases?
So a big challenge with TinyML overall is that it's really been picked up by a lot of technologists, but it's not made its way into real products. So a lot of this current wave of stuff that's happening is really around, okay, we've got this technology of running machine learning on these tiny 50-cent chips. What can we actually do with it that's practical? And some of the things that I'm really excited by are actually pretty simple. Like if you think about outdoor security lights, just being able to have them only turn on when there's a person there, versus turning on when there's like wildlife or trees moving or other stuff like that, that not only makes them more useful in terms of actually letting you know if somebody's in your backyard when you weren't expecting them, it also saves energy and hopefully will annoy your neighbors less with the light just going off all the time. So what I'm really excited about is bringing a lot of this very sort of abstract AI technology into real world applications like that.
So in the areas where Useful Sensors operate, so can you give us a sense of what's possible today, what's deployable today in all these areas, computer vision, speech, and language?
So a lot of what we're doing is trying to make sure that we can actually run some of these advanced capabilities on the kind of really constrained, cost-constrained, size-constrained, power-constrained hardware that goes into mass-volume consumer electronics. So one way I kind of think about it is a lot of the stuff that was maybe cutting-edge, like, 8 years ago in the computer vision world, is now starting to become possible on, you know, these 50-cent chips. So we can run person detection, face recognition on an RP2040, that in volume is probably around 50 cents per chip, even though it only has 300 kilobytes of memory. And a dual core Cortex M0, we've actually been able to run these kinds of advanced computer vision use cases on that. And for the speech side, we're able to do full speech to text on hardware that's in the sort of $5 range. So that's something new that really wasn't possible up until sort of a year or two ago.
So for the product designers who are listening to this conversation, so how should they think about these capabilities? Is it more like I can pick and choose and assemble different capabilities? In other words, based on what you've described, a lot of these things are single task, single purpose, right?
Exactly. Like, one thing I found to be helpful is the reason we called our company Useful Sensors is because a sensor is a really nice abstraction for providing a capability. So, for example, a lot of the people who are buying our person detectors, our person sensors, they aren't interested in machine learning at all. They just want a better passive infrared sensor. Like I was talking about with the security lights use case, they want something that's only going to trigger when a person enters a room and not just on random movement, and that will stay on even if the person isn't moving. So what we're trying to do is add some core capabilities to product designers' palette and make it so you don't have to think about the machine learning that's underlying this.
Yeah, and so Pete, in closing, so what do you see are the biggest opportunities for pushing AI, generative AI, into consumer devices and sensors over the next few years?
So I really think we have to start from problems that users care about. One of the classic things that I really don't like the term IoT for many reasons, but a lot of it was because it was very much driven by, hey, we've got this technology, what can we use it for? I think we have to start with problems that users care about. Like, a classic example is an IoT connected dishwasher. We really struggle to find any use cases for why you would want your dishwasher connected to the internet. Like, they didn't seem to, but people are still doing things like that. Rather than starting from, hey, let's connect to the internet and then figure out what we need to do, we're trying to start from, hey, what do users care about? They care about their, devices breaking. So can we, can we fix that? They care about things like how long their TV takes to start up when you press the on button. Like, because they're all running Android effectively, it can often take 10 seconds or more. So if we can help pre-boot TVs, that might actually be very helpful. And really just trying to come up with stuff that makes it even just a small difference in people's everyday lives and start from there.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the O'Reilly Podcast, Generative AI in the Real World. If you want to listen to the full version, please log in to the platform at O'Reilly.com.